Michael's people.
4% and that, obviously. Yes, sir. So welcome to The Point Podcast. We have a special guest in the building, William Adwasi.
Good pronunciation. Thank you.
Who I thought was Nigerian, but now I found out he's Ghanaian.
He's actually Ghanaian.
Yeah, let's not bring that into the actual podcast. Yeah.
It's all getting in there, to be honest. Anyway. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. Good.
Did someone ask him that before?
Yes. Okay. We've all asked him that already.
It's that fake thing, isn't it? It's like you just got to do it.
You know, how you have doing? To just do it as a schedule. You know, that to when you're starting a podcast, your whole conversation, you have to sort of say,
how to bring the listeners in.
You really don't care.
Well, so you don't care for my well-being?
No, I do care for your well-being.
Man,
I was just mashing up the whole thing, but it's fine.
It's totally fine, though. It's totally fine. At least I know where I stand.
Yeah, of course, bro. Well, this is our pop segment, and our pop segment stands for Pursuit of Passion. So what we like to do is we like to get guests on who we see are pursuing their passions, and just kind of find out what the journey is for you as an entrepreneur, as a creative, someone who's just basically decided to say, you know what, I know what's in my heart, I want to go out and do it. What's the journey like? Hence why we have you here.
Thank you.
So, where do we even begin?
Where did you start? How did you start?
Are you talking about specifically Vitae London now?
No, you.
Okay. Me as a human being.
Yes.
So I started when my mother and father got together fateful evening.
Birds and the bees.
No, on a serious note, so I'm first born of 7 children. Mm-hmm. Both parents are from Ghana, West Africa. Grew up in, like a lot of us, in the council estate, southeast London. What? So between Campbell and Peckham. So that's my beginnings, really.
And you're one of 8 siblings?
One of seven. Yeah, okay. Firstborn, number one.
Wow.
So I've always been the leader, really.
Yeah, I hear that.
Always been a challenge.
Don't get twisted. His brothers and sisters, like, they slew him on Twitter, to be honest.
Yeah, it's quite peak. They really do humble me, which is good.
So what was that like growing up in that kind of household? Like, so many people, like, and you said you was in a council estate, so
up until I was 13, there was 9 of us living in a like 2-bedroom house. So yeah, it was crazy, but it was my normal. It was all I knew. Mm-hmm. So to kind of describe it, it was just what it was. It was my life. It's what I loved it. I loved the noise. I loved being around a lot of people. But it's all I knew.
Right. Okay. And so, fast forward now, what did you do in school? Like, what kind of things were you interested in? Were you a big education person? Or?
Not really, if I'm honest. So, education's always been really key to my dad. Mm. So, my dad was the first in my family line to get an education, to learn to read and write. He grew up in, like, the villages. Like when we go back there, it's pretty mad. So, he grew up in that environment. So, due to that, he's really hard on education. So, really pushed me hard during primary school, got me a tutor, and then through that, I was able to secure a place in a quite a prestigious boarding school.
Okay.
So I actually went to boarding school up in the Midlands, got a scholarship for that. So that was my life, and that's
you actually went with one of my colleagues.
Really?
Yeah, Harold Bedway Afu.
Oh God, Harold.
He was like, do you know that Will guy? Like, do you know that Will guy? You go to the same church as him, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, we went boarding school together. And
yeah, we'll talk about Harold offline.
Yeah, trust me.
No, I'm joking. Wow. Great, great guy.
Yeah,
So I went boarding school, and that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things and to like the harsh realities of life. Because I went from thinking my area was the be all and end all, I didn't know about anything else. Now I'm around all these rich people who look down on you if you're from a council estate, but they didn't know my story. So they're calling the locals council estate scum, not knowing I'm from there. So that was a bit of a mad situation, if I'm honest. So that was my life. And then when I was about 16, came back to London for college. Went to City of London in Bermondsey, and then, went to university, did that part-time, ran my first business when I was 19.
That's
Yeah.
What was that business?
So that was a sports academy.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I knew a lot of guys who were FA level 1 and 2 qualified from college. Like, so they've got these qualifications, which means you can make money, but they just sat with them. So I got a lot of my friends, and then I put adverts on Gumtree. I was like 19-year-old in this little office, invited people into interviews, and then we'd call up primary schools and then sell those coaches into the schools.
Okay.
And then we had like after school clubs for like 3 years from the ages of like 19 to 22. So I was doing that. Okay. And at the time, the beautiful Labour government was giving money to schools called the Extended Fund. So we were able to tap into that. So it didn't cost the schools anything, and we were just making good profit margins. Nice. And then, unfortunately, that funding was pulled, and then that business kind of collapsed.
I wonder why that funding was pulled.
I have no clue. So that was it. And then from then, I went to work in the city as an insurance broker, then a recruitment consultant. So I was making really good money. Then I realized that money alone just didn't give me enough of a kick or a drive.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, I started Vitae.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember reading a blog post that you wrote. It was a few years back now. And you were describing your journey from recruitment into actually how it wasn't fulfilling you. Like, you were doing really well at it. You were making really good money. We all know recruitment, you know, it makes good money. But then you said that you had, there's something more that you wanted.
Yeah.
And you felt like this wasn't it.
Mm.
So, having read that, I was like, okay. And then you were talking about starting Vitae.
Mm.
So where did Vitae come from as an idea, as a concept?
As a name.
Yeah.
So Vitae is actually Latin for life. So my whole thing is, so I'm a believer, and I want people to be declaring positivity whenever they are associated with my brand.
Yeah.
So whenever my brand's mentioned, you're actually declaring life, you're speaking life. And also, our whole mantra from the get-go has been to be the fashion brand changing lives.
Mm-hmm.
So with each watch we sell, we actually help support a child through education in South Africa. And that was stemmed from like my dad's story and seeing how education broke a cycle of poverty that was just going on and on for generations.
Mm.
And also, my wife had been away to South Africa to the charity we support a few years back. And we just saw that how a bit of money to us, 30, 40 quid, could literally see a kid through school for a year. Mm. So we were sending money every month to provide uniform to see children through school. And then me with my business brain, I thought, how can I scale up the efforts we're doing there? And how can I like reach a mass market with it? And I've always loved watches, so I combined my passion for fashion with my passion for compassion, and Vitae was kind of birthed out of that.
You know what's funny, yeah? My old pastor used to say that your time is your life.
I like matting.
So, yeah, do you get it? mad.
Matting,
life on your wrist.
Trust me.
And so, okay, so you've got the concept, you've got the idea, you've got the charity you're going to partner with.
Yeah.
How did you go about starting to make the watch and designing it and everything?
Yeah, so my design background's a bit weird. So I was studying GCSE art. About halfway through the course, I realized I couldn't draw. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna
halfway through the course, you know?
Yeah, it was a bit late. I was like, I'm not actually good at this thing.
Yeah.
So in that, I taught myself GCSE. I taught myself graphics design. And through that process of learning graphics design, ever since I was like 16, I know how to manipulate things on computers and create images. So the initial design was just, I looked at some old fashion brands that I really loved that were super high end, so weren't attainable for a lot of people from my background. And I thought, why not create a product that looked as sleek and elegant as those products, but was at an affordable price point that also changed lives. So that's how that whole process kind of came to being in terms of the design, etc.
It was you one, no team, it was just you.
Nah, just me.
Just you and the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
That's literally it. Because you took your savings, didn't you?
You
saved up some money. It seems like I still grew on Twitter, boy.
It's not
but
bad.
You saved up some money and you said to your wife...
Yeah, okay. So this is where we was at, yeah. So I'm working in the city, earning about... Not massive amount, but like around 60k a year. So earning good enough.
Not massive amounts.
Not like massive.
I'm praying for that blessing.
Amen. So I'm earning a decent amount of money, right? Including my commission. That's what I was on. So we've got this money, like excess money, I can put aside for whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So we were saving up for a house, and then I just had this vision, and it was just, to me, it was a no-brainer. Because I had seen other watch brands in the marketplace that weren't built as good quality as our watch, didn't really have a vision with their brand, and they weren't impacting lives. And those watches, at a similar price point, they were turning over millions. So I just thought to myself, why wouldn't it work? I was thinking, mm-hmm. why not? Mm-hmm. So at that point, I just sat my wife down. I was like, hey, I'm going to quit this job making a decent amount of money, and I'm going to invest our savings into starting this business. And luckily, she just let me do it.
She just let you do it. Yeah. That is the wife.
You got a dope wife, man.
Yeah, choose your wives carefully. Yeah, you've got the choice.
You have to, you know.
Test them from young.
Enoch's on the hunt, innit?
We're artists.
Why are you acting like you ain't on the hunt,
bro? We're just doing call out cards on the podcast like that.
Yeah, do you know what?
Crazy.
Yeah. Ladies, yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
Can you imagine?
That podcast was
weird. No, but yeah, no, that's mad. I think it's when it comes to the partners, when you like, yeah, I want to invest our savings into starting this, they really have to believe in you.
Yeah.
They really have to believe in you. And then do you think that, whatever, like, it obviously it hasn't happened, but like, if she had said no or she had like gone against it, how would you have felt about that? Would it have kind of stopped you from going ahead? Or
that's a great question. I've never been asked that. I think, yeah, it would have probably hindered it. I would have tried to grind and do it on the side.
Yeah.
But I've just realized since launching it that, like, so I get loads of business ideas all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just thinking about Vitae's journey, it's those ideas scare me because I'm like, I have to put in so much work just to get this idea off the ground. And so it's the same with that. So it's like, as much as the idea could have still gone forth, mm-hmm. I don't think it would have had half the impact without me like fully involved with it every day.
Yeah. No, that's why you're blessed, man. Mm-hmm. That's why you're blessed. That's the thing, like, whenever someone comes up to me, I've got an idea. It is a gamble, but if you believe in a person, it doesn't feel like one.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a gamble when you have God on the side. Mm.
That's it.
Me.
And I think in this day and age, we just need to reframe our minds and also think, in the grand scheme of things, there isn't really a risk.
Mm.
Like, the only real risk is a bit of time wasted. That's the only real risk. Maybe 6 months to a year of time wasted. But aside from that, if 3 months down the line Vitae absolutely flopped, I would have got another job. It's not like I would have died. Yeah, I would have got another job. We would have stacked up the money and we could get a mortgage. It's not the end of the world. But in people's minds, it's like this job security is everything. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to fall into a pit of flames. But that's not true.
It's not true, is it, Apple?
Hey, this is not true. Listen, out, man. What were your parents' thoughts? Because it's your wife; she's backing you.
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't tell my dad till about 3 or 4 months.
Of course.
How did you manage that, bro?
I wasn't living with him. I'm married. You know what I mean?
You're not obliged to tell him like that.
I'm in my own vicinity, and then 3 or 4 months down the line, I'm like, I've started this. I've quit my job, and. Like, so we with my wedding, like the year before that, we had like 450 guests. It cost like loads of money, and he saw that I was able to get the money for that within like a year.
Right.
So in his head, he's thinking, William, you are so stupid, what are you doing? Yeah. He didn't say it in those words, but
the look
he was like, why would you want to do that? And also, like, I've got family members who do importing and export businesses and things like that. So they bring in watches that they've got from abroad. Mm. So to him, he's just like, you're bringing in watches from abroad. Like, he didn't see the value in it. Okay. And that's totally fine. You can't expect everyone to see the value in what you're doing from the get-go. Mm. And you can't expect everyone to believe from the get-go. And I loved it because the beauty of that is that it pushed me to work harder, knowing that I had to prove to him that this was a viable idea. And so after 3 or 4 months, I could actually show him, hey, we generated this amount of money last month while I was still working. So look, imagine what I can do when I'm in this full time. So he wasn't for it at first. But then when I highlighted to him again that it wasn't that much of a risk because I can just go get another job, he was pretty okay with it.
What did your mum think about it, though?
She went a bit psycho, but then just gave me a bit of silent treatment.
Okay.
But then with time, I've been able to prove to her as well. So she was cool.
Nice. Okay. Mm. Ooh, prove your parents wrong, kid.
Yeah.
Do it.
Now all my dad does is brag about his entrepreneur son. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's always wearing the watch. Yeah. So I was like, I see you,
Pops. See this watch?
My son.
You it is powerful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
so good.
That's crazy because you... It's weird because I think a lot of millennials, especially these days, yeah, everybody's got these ideas in their head and things that they want to do, but there's things that are stopping them. I'm thinking your parents, right, your mum's giving you silent treatment. Mm-mm. Dad's not really on it. You're on your ones. Wife's giving you back in. Like, how was it hard? Like, was it, what was you going through? Were there ever times that you were like, what am I doing? Like, is this?
I think the whole journey, you're like that. Even now, like, it's only recently that I feel like I even understand like my sales funnel and the method in capturing customers, etc. But it's all a massive learning curve. And I think that you being a bit naive is just so beautiful because you can just run into things you know nothing about and still see some little wins and successes, lose a bit on the way, but in those losses you've learned so many lessons. So I actually, yeah, I feel like in this day and age it was tough for me. But it's not as difficult as people make it out to be. Mm. And it's just about running with that vision and then seeing what comes of it.
So, as an entrepreneur, as you've gone through your journey within running Vitae, and I'm sure you've seen highs and lows, but what are the mistakes that you've made so far that, you know, that you've learned from? Because to me, like, it's great to have highs, but I think the lows, like the mistakes that you make, those are the most important things that you will see in the journey. I feel as if that, you know, it's a learning curve. It's something that you can take away and say, okay, I can improve on this. So what mistakes have you made? During your journey developing Vitae?
That's great. I guess one of my biggest lessons through running Vitae is fully identifying my strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I think as entrepreneurs, we're just so optimistic. All we see is the positive. All we see is our strengths. All we see is what we're running with. And that's good. You need that trait. Otherwise, there's no way you can get out and do anything outside of the norm. But in that, there is a weakness because you can't see your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So one of my major weaknesses is admin, is accounts, all that kind of stuff. I just, it kills me. I absolutely hate it. Wow. But, and the thing is, and it's so bad to the point that I won't even ask for help. Like, let me just ask someone for help. Let me get some assistance. But like, and even in their help, I feel like I have to do work in order for them to help me. And I just hate it with a passion.
Is it because you hate not knowing what you're doing?
Yeah. I hate not knowing what I'm doing, and I hate having to do things I think aren't that important. Yes. Like, why am I sitting here crunching these numbers where I can be getting more customers? Like, it's just, it annoys the hell out of me. But I wish from day one I identified that weakness in myself and brought on a co-founder to just focus on that, or outsourced it from the start, or put processes in place that would mean that I had to do less work long term, a bit of work short term to get those systems in place. Like, there's a system called Xero which we have in place now, which is amazing accountancy software. Yeah, so every month we can really like identify and actually link it to our bank account, so all the spend, ingoings, outgoings are all catered for. But I didn't have that at the start. So it's about setting those processes in from as early as possible, to ensure that your weaknesses aren't highlighted and aren't shown big.
Who'd you bank with, by the way?
I bank with Santander.
Oh, okay.
Should I move to Barclays?
You should move to Barclays still.
Why should I move to Barclays?
Because you could come and join my team.
Join
you. Okay. Issue. We do Xero. It fits with our bank.
Mad. Okay.
Look at this guy.
Do I get free WeWork access if I join Barclays?
Well,
you're starting aren't you?
let him live with Santan Dave. It's calm.
Imagine Santan Dave.
Mad.
You know.
Questions.
Because you know what? Yeah. Because I work with a lot of businesses. Yeah. I look after some, and I see that all the time. You have the CEO, who's the guy with the vision, knows everything. I'll sit down in front of them, and they'll tell me everything they want to do. And then I say to them, okay, so what's your turnover, or what's your pipeline for obtaining customers? And they're like,
What's that?
What? And then they have to pass me over to the FD. Yeah, yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Are you doing that all yourself, or do you have?
So my wife's actually a park qualified accountant.
Oh, come on, G. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
But the issue is, obviously, she's still working full time.
Okay.
So we recently had a child, so she's on maternity. Thank you.
Congratulations.
She's on maternity leave, so she's literally right now dealing with 2 years worth of accounts. She's catching up with everything. So thank God for my daughter and that my wife can now actually have time.
Sorry, I just want to clap. Sorry.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. So yeah, she's actually focused on fixing everything now. Nice. As we speak.
Oh, it's all within the family. I would need to take a quick break before we ask the next question.
So obviously, as you just said, you're a father now. Does that motivate you to greater heights within Vitae, developing Vitae?
Yeah, becoming a father has given me, like, before I thought I had like a pretty good work ethic, like pretty good drive. But it's weird, now I'm thinking, when she reaches 21, what am I going to hand into her hands? Mm-hmm. Like, what is my legacy? What am I going to pass over? Mm-hmm. It sounds mad when I even say it. Because it's like, so I'm 27 now, but I'm already thinking about in 20 years time when she's 21, mm-hmm. and what I'm going to give to her to equip her to take over the world. So, yeah, I guess it's given me a bigger drive, and it's also enabled me to have more long-term vision, because I'm thinking about how everything I do today fits into the master plan and the...
affects your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How I can, yeah, help give her the best life she can have.
Yeah.
You know, with Vitae, yeah?
Mm.
You got quite a lot of exposure with your brand.
Mm.
Like, you've met Emily Sandé.
Mm.
You've met Pharrell, church people, the Pharrell Williams, Michelle Williams, quite a few folk. Like, how did that happen? And then obviously, ultimately, Richard Branson, who, you know, I want you to tell that story, but how did you get
about
exposure?
I'm guessing.
They're cool like that.
Life is mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That would be my answer. And like, I honestly believe if you like go after like a God-given dream, doors just open.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you some of these doors, you're probably not going to believe me, bro. Like one day I'm tell in me. Holborn with my mate, with one of my good friends, and we walk into Nando's. Chilling in Nando's, cool, normal day.
Common Nando's.
I'm not talking Gauchos, guys. I'm talking, not STK, I'm talking Nando's. So I'm talking to my boy, and some security guard kind of don walks in. And he's looking a bit sketchy. So I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, what's happening? All of a sudden, Big Sean walks in.
Just
walks through Nando's. Like, so I just get up, I speak to him, give him a watch, tell him about it. Managed to get pictures, and it's just crazy, some of the doors. So that was him, Romelu Lukaku a few months ago from the greatest football team on the planet.
Come on, G.
I'm walking through New York City randomly, just on a random tip, and then I just see he's literally just chilling outside a restaurant with his mates in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be totally honest with you guys now. At that point, he's playing for Everton. he's playing for Everton, and I recognize his face, but I forgot his name.
Oh,
I'm just gonna be honest. So I walked past him, walked down the road. I literally googled black striker Everton, and his name came up. I was like, yes, that's his name. So I walked
Romelu,
I'm such a big fan. Just went like that. Shared a picture, took a picture of him, he posted it on his Instagram straight away. It was like, it's an amazing vision, blah blah blah. And so many of those doors have just been open, like beyond my control. I can never take credit for it. I can never say I've got this amazing plan.
You weren't hunting them down like they're gonna be at this place, let me go there.
It was some of them, but in general, no.
Okay. How did you meet Michelle Williams?
So I was singing at a festival called Big Church Day Out.
I knew you were a singer.
He's a singer.
Yeah.
You look like a singer.
Oh, thank you.
It's the hat.
So I was singing at Big Church Day Out with my friend Michael Faithchild.
Yeah.
So we're on the main stage, having a good time, but that granted me VIP access backstage and everything. and Michelle Williams came down to the UK for the same festival. Sick. So she's behind the scenes, and she's good friends with Isaac as well.
God, I thought you were going to say good friends with Beyonce. Oh, no, no,
no. So she's actually good friends with Governor B.
Okay.
So I text Governor, I'm like, mate, Michelle Williams here, can you drop her a text?
Yeah.
He texts her, telling her about me.
Yeah.
And then like an hour later, just by chance, I bump into her backstage. Mm-hmm. Gave her the spiel about Vitae. She was like, yeah, Isaac already told me. Got her a watch there, and then she shared it on social. So it's just like,
wow. You see,
that was, yeah, it was
your awesome. Gift will make room for you, you know.
I'm telling you,
like that proverb, fam. Your gift, like, because you were there for singing, and it's just opened the door for, exactly. for business as well. Exactly. That is beautiful.
Seek
that
ye the kingdom of the Lord first,
and everything shall be added. Fire, fire. What did you you didn't give her a watch to give Beyonce, did you?
Nah. The thing is, yeah, whenever I meet a celebrity who I know has access to a in quotes higher ranked celebrity, I never approach them with the, hey, I'm gonna use you to get to someone else.
Sure.
Okay. So when if I've got time with them, it's actually dedicated strictly to them. Mm-hmm. If I can somehow build a relationship and down the line, oh, do you think that's a possibility to introduce me to so and so? Then that can come up. Mm-hmm. But I never, because she's a celebrity in her own right. She's a singer in her own right. She's done great things in her own right. So I want to value her time and not have her time consumed with me saying, oh, yeah, Beyonce is great. Do you know what I mean? Because she's lived her life. Not in a rude way, but she's lived her life kind of in Beyonce's shadow. That's how people would view it. But she's amazing in her own right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like when they look at, every time they interview Kelly, they always ask her about Beyonce. It's just like, it's rude, man. Like, let people live in their own life.
She's grinded to be where she was. Like, let's respect her. Let's respect our time with her. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my philosophy. I never want to use people as a step to get to someone else. So.
Yeah. You know, you said a few months ago, actually, let me just explain. So in Hillsong, we have something called spheres, and that's where people will, you know, they will tell their story depending on, you know, based on what sector or what. Actually, let me start again.
No, that's good. That's
Is
good.
That
that's
good? Good. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So it might be based on business or family or working. And you said in your spheres that because you're rooted in the church, it's put you in the position that you're in right now.
Mm.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I honestly believe if you put God's house first, he honors your house externally. Like, so I'd rather have God's backing and work 2 hours than do everything in my own strength and work 40 hours.
Mm.
Like, I'd much rather have that. And that, so sometimes when people are dedicated to the church and dedicated to the house, some people view them as you must be crazy, because how can you really dedicate yourself to your business? But I've just seen firsthand that as I've put God's house first, he's just opened these stupid doors that make no sense. Like him, God opening the door for me to meet Romelu Lukaku randomly in New York is probably what people have spent hours and hours and hours on working to bring in money to approach his publicist,
get
a marketing budget, to get him to share it on his social media.
Wow. Yeah.
But because of the favor of God in my life, I can just walk past him one day in New York. Amen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I say that, and that's why I kind of hold that dear.
One thing I do say is that if you take care of God's business, he takes care of your business.
100.
And like, who would you rather take care of your business? Exactly. Yourself? Or
the creator? Yeah, the next man.
Yeah.
Yeah, next man.
Even the next man, it's like, would you rather God take care of your business than, like, I'd rather him handle my situation than me. Obviously, I'll do what I can.
Yeah.
But if I'm helping his kingdom, if I'm helping his work, then he'll help my work.
No doubt.
Basically, so.
It's interesting as well, because I think people could say to you, okay, but what about those that are in the church constantly and they're not making any impact in the world? And you know, you get a lot of people that they're churchgoers, they're very focused, but it also becomes this kind of condensed sect of people.
Those people are usually not very practically minded.
Lazy.
Thank you. Let's be real.
Real talk.
Let's be sober.
Often they're so like engrossed in the things of the church, which is great, but they pray so much and they don't put in any action.
Mm.
And how can God water a seed if there's no seed that's been planted? It just doesn't make any sense. So I feel like the vision God's giving you is that seed, you go in to plant it, is that work, and then he brings the water, he brings the growth, he brings the development. And that growth and development can come as a result of prayer.
Yes.
But you've got to get on your knees and you've got to plant that seed. You've got to put in the work. So I think that's why
faith without works is dead.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's it. You got to get to work. I hear that. Sick.
So tell us about Richie B. How did that come about?
Who's Richie B?
Bizzle.
Sorry, I get confused.
I know him as well, you know.
Mad. So how did that come about? So
Richie B, you know.
Richie B.
Sorry, Sir Richard Branson. I don't wish to slander the name at all. So Virgin Startup give out loans to startups, right?
Yeah.
So up to 6%. Up to 25k across 5 years. Mm-hmm. So out of, I think it was about 10,000 businesses, they chose 1,000 businesses to receive the loan. Mm-hmm. So by God's grace, I was chosen as one of the 1,000 businesses. Then out of those 1,000 businesses, they chose 12 standout entrepreneurs / businesses to become Virgin Startup Ambassadors. So they become ambassadors for entrepreneurship in the UK and just fly that Virgin banner, in essence. So I was chosen as one of the 12. As part of that, I got to go to Richard Branson's house last year, June. Not his proper like island or anything, his house in Oxford. So it's a bit of a letdown.
It wasn't a letdown,
but we all want that island, let's be real. So I got to meet him, had breakfast with him, but it was such a quick day and there was so many of his team around and it was filmed all the time. So I wanted to have like a proper chat with him and give him a watch. But if I'm honest, in my heart of hearts, I kind of chickened out.
Oh, wow.
So that was, again, if you talk about losses or mistakes, that's one of the biggest mistakes, just not facing things head on sometimes. And then throughout the year, Virgin, out of the 12, for some reason, they kept choosing me to speak at different events. I guess I've got the gift in that kind of area. So I'm speaking at different events. And then one of the events that they approached me for on the week, so it was Thursday, they called me on Monday, was like, we'd love you to be on a panel with Richard Branson. It's just going to be you, Richard Branson, and one other person. So I just cleared my throat. I was like, I can do it. I think I'm free. I'll come on down.
I think I'm free.
Deep down, I was gassed. So I'm on a panel with Richard Branson, another lady who was selected. And then there's a room full of people. We're doing like an interactive mentoring session where we're asking him questions, etc. And then halfway in between like me delivering a talk on what I do and on Vitae, I just got my watch out, stood up and gave it to him. I was like, oh, I brought you a gift. I was just like, I've just got to do it. If I get in trouble, such is life. So I gave him the watch and it was so weird because straight away he stood up and he's like, oh, funnily enough, I know how much your watches cost. Strange. And he was like, and I don't think as a business in your early days you should be giving away free products. So here's the money for the watch.
Wow.
Just drop the cash in my hand. And then he sits down and he's like, oh, actually my watch is a bit worn, you can have it as well. So he took his watch off, gave it to me, and it's currently sitting in my living room.
Lovely.
So. Wow. Lovely. Not bad.
You gonna sell it?
You gonna pawn it? You gonna take it to the pawn shop?
I'm gonna be very vulnerable with you guys. So, as soon as I told my wife about it, she was like, "Oh, babe, wait till he dies because it'll be worth a lot more money."
Yes, so, yes, so, fantastic wife, fantastic wife.
So yeah, so it's currently just still
this
sticking in my
wife. Head. This your wife? Where do you find her?
Visionary, you know.
Gotta think long term, innit?
It's good, you know. How much did he give you, money
wise? It was literally the amount of the watch. It was like £200.
Oh, is it?
It was mad that he knew. So I was thinking, was he gonna?
I saw the video. He took it out of his pocket and was just like.
But it was weird. It was as if it was staged. Like he knew, but no one knew I was gonna do that.
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand. I didn't understand. I don't know whether or not he was going to buy a watch anyway or something, but it was such a strange turn of events.
He might have been planning to offer to buy one.
Yeah, I think that's probably what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I beat him to it.
Yeah, you came in. So do you, are you under, because you're an ambassador for them, are you under like mentorship by them, or how does it work?
Yeah, so they've provided, as a Virgin Startup entrepreneur, they provide mentors.
Okay.
From like different facets of business world. I personally haven't used their mentors.
Okay.
But yeah, the opportunity is there for me to get involved.
Cool.
What was the reason behind selecting South Africa as a country to support educationally?
Yeah, cool. Reasoning behind that was we're really passionate about the charity we support. So the vision behind the charity is to start at the most southern city in Africa in general, which is Port Elizabeth in South Africa, and work their way up. So they've impacted, we've impacted children already in South Africa, Zimbabwe, Lesotho. They're opening up centres now in Uganda and Kenya. They're going to be opening centres in across West Africa as well. Mm. But the starting point is South Africa. Mm. So it was really important for me to support this specific charity. And another thing as well is I don't really see the borders the way most people see the borders. Like when I go to South Africa and I see little black children running around, I'm not thinking, oh, they're not Ghanaian, so I can't support them. Mm-hmm. To me, Africa is Africa. Mm-hmm. And like there's obviously so many like varying differences, but at the core of it, I see myself in those little children. So I don't really see the borders as in I should be supporting Ghana or supporting a specific country. My heart is for the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. So
okay, so as that charity continues to grow, does that mean that you would grow as well?
Exactly.
Okay,
so the dream is as we grow our brand and we're selling more watches, we're impacting more lives. Mm-hmm. We're touching more nations of Africa. So the starting point, you're right, is South Africa, but we've already impacted another two more countries, and the vision is to impact even more.
Okay. So growing up with your African parents, your Ghanaian parents, is there anything that you could say that you've learned from them that has helped you develop Vitae so far?
A lot. I guess the biggest thing I've learned is about grit. Grit, hard work, determination. And that's just second to none in terms of what I've seen exhibited from my parents. So, yeah, I'd definitely say that I've learned so much from that. Just having a work rate and just not backing down. And the thing I love about my parents is that they always had vision beyond what they could see. Like they always had vision for more, and they saw potential in me and always pushed me to do more than what I could see and what I was doing. So taking that mindset into my business, into my life, has just equipped me to always have vision beyond what I can see as well. Mm-hmm. And just do bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think everyone can be an entrepreneur?
No.
Okay.
I don't say that in a rude way, and I don't say that to put people down. Mm-hmm. But it's the same way I don't feel like every entrepreneur could be an accountant. Mm. And it's the same way I don't feel like every entrepreneur could be a creative person, or could, I think it's a very specific kind of gifting. Mm. And I don't think everyone is meant to do it. Mm-hmm. I think the beauty of even the human body is that certain areas of the body, certain limbs are stronger in certain aspects. And it all creates this one amazing organism that pushes forward. So I think if everybody was an entrepreneur, there'd be no organism. Mm. There'd just be one organ.
One head and no hands to
no
kind of
limbs,
do something.
No nothing. No, so
we need workers as well, you know.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a balance. And I feel like in our generation, I feel like this whole entrepreneurship thing is so glorified.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so highlighted, and it's seen as the be all and end all. Mm. But I know a lot of people that are employees that probably earn 10 times what most entrepreneurs earn.
Yeah, because everyone seems the glitz and the glamour of being an entrepreneur, but you could probably be broke soon.
Yeah, you can. It's I've been grinding for the past 2 years. They see these pictures with celebrities, they see this, they see that, and they think, yeah, I'd love to do that. But sometimes I think to myself, man, I wish I was just working a job. Yeah. I wish I was just working a 9-to-5 because life would be a lot easier. I've got that guaranteed income every month. I'm not stressing about all aspects of a business. Mm. I'm just focusing on a small aspect and running with that. So benefits to both things, but I don't believe everyone should be an entrepreneur. Mm.
And going back to that, you know, meeting all these celebrities, in terms of celebrity endorsement, can you say that that's helped your business significantly grow? Or has it just, you know, put more eyes on the business?
Well, more eyes is significant growth for us. Because okay. With us, it's like if people hear about Vitae London, what we do, see the elegance of the product, mm-hmm. see the price point, people buy it. Yeah. Like, people do buy it. And it's not me being arrogant, it's just what it is. So if a celebrity shares about it to their millions of followers and people hear about it, they buy it. It's as simple as that. So it's definitely added so much value to what we do in terms of spreading the word.
Have you ever paid anyone for endorsements?
We've never ever paid anyone.
Sick.
We've never ever paid for an endorsement. The only thing we've had to pay for is to maybe ship a watch to someone. We've given free watches away.
Okay,
we've done that.
Yeah, that's a given.
But I've...
This is kind of...
Yeah, go buy, I have to buy mine, yeah? I have to buy this, boy. Listen. I sing alongside Willie in my church. I'm thinking, oh, maybe I can just get...
What's going on?
I have my watch. That is a word of cash. Going back to what you said about not everyone can be an entrepreneur, yeah, and you wanting a full-time, well, sometimes wanting a full-time job.
Sometimes getting the temptation, but knowing that that's not me.
Okay, yeah. That's not you.
Okay.
Could you do what you're doing on the side?
Because
a lot of people side hustling at the minute.
I think side hustle is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I would actually encourage that. And I would only encourage taking the leap where it just wasn't physically possible to do both. Could I do what I'm doing on the side? Potentially. Mm. Would it be where it is today? Definitely not.
Okay.
So that's what my answer would be to that. Like, me being all in and with it has enabled me to reach heights that I would not have been able to reach if it was a side hustle. But it's just the law of physics. It's the law of what you put in is what you get out. So the more time enables me to get more out of it.
Sick. Do you have scriptures that you go to for entrepreneurialism?
So my favorite scripture in the Bible in general is Romans 12:12, yeah. Which is rejoice in hope, endure in tribulation, persist in prayer.
Amen.
And for me, that's like my manual to life. Like, rejoice in hope. So rejoice in what is to come. Like, rejoice in, like, seeing that end vision. Enduring tribulation. So I love the beauty of that is because God is not saying, like, a lot of Christianity is sold as this easy life once you meet Jesus. But God is not saying that. He's saying, actually, he's just giving us the command to endure. Mm. Like, so endure in the tribulations and persist in prayer. So it's like the way to endure through that tribulation is actually to connect to the maker of the heavens and earth. So persist in prayer. So rejoice, endure, persist, and yeah, that's what I live by.
That's it. Are you gonna do more businesses in the future? Because there's a scripture talking about scripture.
Here we go.
These guys know it.
Here we go.
Ecclesiastes, I think it's 11:8, but don't quote me on that. And it says, invest is Solomon, and he's saying, invest in 7 ventures, yes in 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So he's basically telling you, diversify
multiple
your
income streams.
Basically,
mad
thing from the Bible.
Why have I not read that?
Trust me, bro. It's so sick. Ecclesiastes, man.
That's crazy. I need to read
my
Bible.
That's scripture.
More.
That's my book. And that's my scripture. Like, no. I even heard
Fam,
Diddy.
I'm sharing that on Twitter today. Like, oh, I'm getting a bagger retweet.
Come and see.
That's...
CCV.
Can we trademark
CCV?
CCV. How
am I going to CCV? Are you the author?
Can you imagine?
Are you the author of the Bible? You ain't getting no cosign, man. You ain't getting no cosign.
Can you imagine?
I met a woman once, yeah. Came up to me and was... She wasn't, like, complaining. She was like, oh, someone stole, like, 10,000k off of me. Some, I don't know how, but
10k or 10,000k, because that's a lot of money.
10k. Yeah. 10,000k is a million, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, yeah. But yeah, 10k. Mm. And I was just like, oh, me, I would melt. My heart would start pounding. But she was bare, like, smiling. She's like, it's all right. I've got money coming from elsewhere. Like,
mental. When disaster comes upon the land,
don't worry, because you've invested.
Man, that is a scripture.
Is it, you know who even quoted that as well? Diddy on Khaled's Snapchat. He was like, y'all don't know about that Ecclesiastes. Y'all don't know. And I was like, yeah, I know, boy. Because I'm we're reading that book, bro.
So, so to answer your question, yes. So I've got, yeah, I've got an idea for an app that I'm going to start developing soon. Mm-hmm. The dream would be to open a property portfolio company. Sick. I'm a little bit invested in cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
So I own, I think, a third of a Bitcoin at the moment.
It's like they're flying up as well,
yeah,
man.
Which is fun. Mm. Hope it doesn't crash. So yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's immediate future. That's what it is. But as I said, I get new ideas all the time.
Yeah.
So they're always surfacing, so we'll see what happens next.
Cool. Are you one of those woke people?
What does that mean?
You know what I mean,
man. Elaborate. Yeah.
Like, are you like woke out here, like black power?
Am I pro black?
Yes.
Yes.
But you're not. I don't like how you asked that question, Michael.
Huh?
I don't like how you asked that question.
Do you know what? Go on.
I feel like when you say woke, I'm thinking Egypt.
Egypt, that's like, what I'm thinking.
You're like thinking Hotep, guys.
Oh, what the hell does that mean, bro? Hotep.
You know.
What does that mean?
You know, I didn't know until. So I was in DC last year, and they was like, oh, those guys, they're Hoteps. Thinking, what is that? But it's basically those arrogant guys that push so hard on those woke, like, ideologies and try and, like, throw it down your throat.
Like, my wife's an empress and all of that
kind of. She's a queen.
and we believe in the universe and
all of that universe. Hang tight. Even Stormzy tweeted it the other day. He was like, I don't call it universe, I call it God.
That was from Carl Loco's new song, Mr. Come On, aka Lox.
Loco's got a tune.
The best rapper in the UK. I just wanted to say that.
Carl Loco.
The best rapper.
Ain't that
the
guy that had the big wedding?
Yeah.
He's the best rapper in the UK.
AKA Mr. Come On. Go do your research. He's the best.
Chip.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention that, man.
Chip. I didn't know he raps like that. He's a bomber. He's in with Richard Branson and that as well.
Man's actually been to Necker Island, so you need to catch up with him.
Yeah. he's literally boys with them though. It's a different life.
Oh, it's a different team. Okay. Okay. Last few questions. Okay, cool. So, Will, for those that are thinking about going into entrepreneurship, what advice would you share? Just, you know,
My advice would be don't do it.
Wow. Are you being serious?
No, I'm joking. So, like, a key piece of advice I always highlight is to start small. Okay. And don't despise the small. So a lot of people, like, for instance, have this vision, like this massive vision, and that's what they see ahead of them, right? And because it's so big, it sort of intimidates them. Yeah. So what you'll find is that you'll meet so many people, I've got this idea, I've got this dream, I've got this vision, but because it's so intimidating, they don't do a thing. Mm. But my advice to people is always to start small. So if you've got an idea for a podcast and you can't even afford a microphone, sit with a friend and record it on your phone. Let's grow from there. Let's develop it from there. Save up money as you go along. Then invest in the microphone. Then invest in a fancy Apple Mac. Then invest in the cameras, etc. But so many people see where you've got now.
We've done it right, lads. Like, we've done it right.
That's right.
We've done it right.
But on a serious note, many people are watching on YouTube and seeing where you are now, but they don't realize how you got there. Mm. So they're like, I can't buy all these things. I'm not going to start. Mm. Whereas they could just build and build and build with time.
Yeah.
Their first iteration won't be as good quality as their last one, but at least there was a first one.
Yeah.
Without that first one, there is no last one. There is no progress. So that's what
it's mad.
You've done it right.
Like, because like our first ever pod, we didn't even own a mic.
No.
And remember,
I swear we were sharing mics.
Remember? Yeah, we were sharing.
We were passing. I think we had one mic and we were passing it around.
But that's how you've got to start.
Yeah. And we took a picture. We did say to that in time to come that we'll know.
And even like I remember we actually borrowed a couple of mics from my workplace.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Oh, can I borrow these for a week?
Yeah. And you stole the soundboard from your dad.
Mad.
Yeah, from his church.
Dad.
We're just going to edit that bit out.
We cut that bit
out.
Sick. Okay.
In 20 years' time, where do you see Vitae and all your other side hustles? Not side hustles, they're really main hustles, but where do you see Vitae in the next 20 years?
The vision for Vitae is just to impact as many lives as possible. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask me for these long-term, short-term goals, but for me, it's women. Just doing what I'm doing now on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. So you could walk into any room now and say, oh, they see that watch and they recognize it's a Vitae watch.
Yeah.
And they know what it is. They know what we're about already without me having to explain. So when I can walk into any room, and they've heard of Vitae, then I'll know that I would have actually made an impact.
I like that.
That will happen.
It will happen.
Amen.
Who? Oh, you say amen. Okay.
It's a joke.
Catholic background boy. Or something.
Amen.
Amen.
Ra.
Don't start with the woke amen Ra. Please don't start with the woke.
You a Hotep now.
Don't. You Hotep. Hotep.
You Hotep.
You Hostepping.
Man.
Who do you want to work with, Will, in the future? Let's just put it out there.
I want to collaborate with Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yep.
Yes.
I want to work with him. I want to work with Virgil Abloh. I'd love to work with him. Dude behind Off-White. Dude behind all of Kanye West's creativity. That would be amazing. There's so many people I want to work with. The list is endless. I'm in talks with the festival Afropunk.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd love to work with them. So many people. It's just, yeah.
That's it.
So I'm going to assume that you like the new Nike Virgil Abloh collaboration.
It's not my favorite from his collection.
I don't like it.
Cool. Yes.
I'm not a fan of it at all.
Okay, cool. It's not my favorite.
Said that, no, I? Say what you're going to say.
I don't like it. I really don't like it. Like,
it's
I don't.
Not my, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite from what he does.
Yeah, because I don't. He put a cable tie on all the trainers. Like, why? I don't like it. And
a
I
cable
don't,
tie on all
yeah,
the trainers.
Yeah, it's like a cable tie, and I don't like the deconstruction style. It's awful.
Oh, I saw someone cutting that off today on a trainer. I've seen that.
Good.
Today. Yeah, I saw that.
Wait till I show you the Off-White and Crocs.
Oh my God.
You're gonna vomit, mate.
Off-White and Crocs.
I might have to load them.
They're comfortable, though. You know, they're so comfortable.
At your age, you're wearing Crocs.
My uncle wore them, yeah. And I put my foot in them. I said, "Wow, I get it now."
I get it now, man.
Oh, Crocs. He did Crocs as well.
Yeah, that's why I'm in them all the time.
Oh my goodness, awful.
All right. If no one's got any more questions,
yeah.
This has been the Point Podcast. Joined by William Aduasi. Round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, brother. Yes.
Who is Ghanaian? I just had to confirm that.
Our first guest on video is The Point. Peace.
Bye.
What camera am I looking at?
Oh, okay.
Oh.